Okay, good evening. The series that we're in the middle of, which we haven't had for quite some time, is called Life in the Heights, where we're discussing like some of the issues that come up with Life in the Heights. It's kind of an exciting thing, at least for those of us who live in the Heights. And what I wanted to talk about tonight, actually, was a question that I got recently about yichud with a transgender person, which is that there are a few women in the Heights who had an apartment, and there was a vacancy in the apartment, and someone who was born a man wanted to, and now was a woman, wanted to move into that apartment. And as I was preparing this shiur, I realized that I don't think I could do it in only one shiur. So if you want to answer that question specifically, you'll have to come back next week.
The thing is, the prior question, before you can even start to answer that question.
Right.
So
we're going to have to talk about... So the reason I can't address that tonight is because I think I have to do too much background material. Right? The background material is going to be related to the status of Yichud and related to the status of transgender people. So I realized as I was preparing today that I just can't do this in one shiur. So I figured... Sometimes you try to be ambitious, Frida. It happens.
No, that's too really.
Whatever. So what we're going to talk about tonight is kind of old-fashioned, prosaic yichud, which is actually a big issue in Life in the Heights. And Be'ezras Hashem, next week we'll move on to that topic. Is that fair?
What about someone who we don't know the gender?
What about someone we don't know the gender? We'll talk about that also. That is part of the, yes, we will discuss all of these things. Now, okay, so let's go. What I want to discuss is yichud, and the reason why this comes up so often in the Heights is because one of the things about our community is that it's a singles community, largely, and one of the things that happens in singles communities is that you have a whole host of friends, men, women, and they come into different... My understanding is, my building, like, none of this happens, but my understanding is, like, in a bunch of buildings in the Heights, like, at all hours, people are coming in and talking and discussing, and it's very
nice.
It's
like a calm storm.
What?
It's basically like...
It's like the equivalent of a college dorm? I don't think so. Frida, it's been a while since Antioch.
Yes.
College dorms today are a different situation entirely. But let's just talk about this. So what we'll talk about tonight is two basic questions. First of all, yichud. Let me just... present it this way. Yichud means that you can't be secluded with someone of the opposite gender. Definition, right? Point two. Yichud, like certain other areas of halacha, the goal is how to get around it. Meaning, right? We have a thing called heter iska, right? Heter iska is our runaround for ribbis, no? It's not like we don't do business. And it's not like in our work, right? We do business, but we have a heter iska. We have a document, which is a way of getting around it. Now, sometimes the runarounds are more legit. Sometimes the runarounds are less legit. But the goal is to try to live life as normally as possible while maintaining our connection and our fealty to halacha, right? That's why we have a heter iska by ribbis. With yichud, to some extent, what we are looking for are kulas, because, honestly, this is the way life is lived. But we also have to realize that while we're looking for kulas, that Chazal had a great deal of wisdom over here. Mike Pence, I don't like him, but Mike Pence is our vice president in the United States, right? Didn't Mike Pence get, like, a lot of press when he said that he doesn't go out in private with anyone besides his wife? That's a very nice thing from our perspective. That's really a very... As much as we don't like... I can't speak for all of us. As much as I don't like Mike Pence, right? But there is something to it. There is a value in that. And the tension that we have in our community, I would say, is on the one hand, we recognize that there are halachic values, On the other hand, there's a whole other set of values that we are trying to meet people. And often you need to be in mixed situations to meet people. And hence we have questions of Yichud. Introduction is too long. Okay, Yichud basically says as follows. Mishnah in Kedushin. Lo yisyached adam im shnei noshim, aval isha achas misyachedes im shnei anoshim. Okay, that is the simple halacha. One man, two women is a problem. One woman, two men is okay. Why is one man and two women a problem in Yichud? So the Gemara has a comment. Frida doesn't like this, but the Gemara's comment is, Ho of Noshim Datan Kala Alehem. Meaning to say, Chazal were worried of one of two things. One concern is that it would be possible to seduce both women. You have a real slick talker. Problem number two that comes up is maybe the fellow will rape both women. But the point is that in Chazal's mind, one man with two women is a problem. One woman with two men is not a problem. This is what the Gemara says. Now, our reality in our world, is it different with Me Too and everything and the level of abuse that goes on?
Two men.
What?
Two men. Do you think a woman really is using good judgment to get into a car with two men as distinct from another woman?
Okay, so then there's another question. Are you using good judgment? And there is a distinction in halacha between whether the men are called kasherim or prutzim. Meaning, now, here, actually, let's skip to that section. I think I gave a lot of sources here. Here, turn to page 4. You see I have a big section that's called, Who is a Kosher Individual? You see that? So the source right on top of that. Again, this is the same Mishnah. One man should not have yichud with two women, but one woman can have yichud with two men. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Amarav, lo shanu ela b'ksherin, aval b'prutzim afilu be'asara namilo. If the people are halachically kosher, then you're allowed to have yichud one woman with two men. But if the men are prutzim, you can't. Now, zot the Gemara. Right? If the men are prutim, even 10 men with one woman is forbidden. Have a ma'isa v'hotzi'uha asara b'mita. Once upon a time, they found 10 guys in a bed. 10 guys in a bed with one woman. Am Rav Yosef teida, demichbri be'asara, began v'kashura, velo michsafi mehadoni. You can have 10 people who will gather together to steal a beam, and no one's embarrassed. In other words, if the men are prutim, Yichud is forbidden with even 10 men, probably even 100 men. Now, how do we define what is a kosher man and what is a paretz man? This is not a simple question. So the Rambam tells us that the halacha of prutzim versus ksherim, for the Rambam, an ordinary individual is considered a kosher. To be a paretz for the Rambam, you have to be, 1 second, so actually, I said it wrong. Here, let's skip to the Ran. The Ran presents it nicely. For the Ran, a kosher is any person who is not known to be a paretz, not known to be a lowlife. Even though the Gemara tells a story about Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda, right? These are Amorim in the Gemara. They said, who says that kasherim is us? Maybe only someone like Reb Chana ben Papa is a kosher. No, that's me. This chasir is haisa shahisa machzik atzma b'kosher. Meaning, according to the Ran, an average person is considered kosher. However, the Rambam holds that an average person is considered a parut. Now, the Ramah, Ashkenazi Psak, assumes that an average Jew is a kosher Jew. But there are certain people who are not average. What does it mean to be a parut? So it seems like this is a big machlokes haposkim. There is one version that Rabbi Yaakov Emden subscribes to and others subscribe to as well, that any Jew who violates any Aveira ever is considered a parut.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody. Basically. I mean, if you have itzma.
It'd be like Ramosha Bam too.
Okay. You know, the Aveira that Moshe on Halavai, we should violate Moshe Rabbeinu's Aveira.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. It's like,
yes.
It's not listed as one of the, you know.
I understand. Not one before people who died because of the snake, right?
Yeah, or not one of those seven people who, like, never sinned.
Correct, right? Absolutely. But let's look at this Gemara in Megillah, at the bottom of the page. The Gemara tells us that Devorah was a judge. Again, this is like one of the harder issues in Judaism, in the sense of how do we understand Devorah. There's the bottom of page 4. It says, Talmud Bavli and Megillah Daf Yud Amud Aleph. The famous article is that the judges and judges didn't actually judge. Now, all the Shoftim were not really judges, with the exception of Devorah. Devorah is the only one in Shoftim who the Pasuk actually says that she was a judge. Now, Ehud didn't judge none. Right? Yiftah, I have no idea what he was. Right? It's really interesting. But the Gemara tells us, he yoshevas tachas tomer, that Devorah sat under this, tomer is like a date palm tree. Ma'ishon tachas tomer, amre Shimon ben Avshalom mishum yichud. Devorah is sitting under a date palm tree because she's worried about yichud. Apparently she's judging. And when you judge, there are two people who come in front of you, a plaintiff and a defendant. Now, one woman and two men should be permitted. Why is there yichud? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, the reason why there is yichud in that Gemara, why Devorah is worried about yichud, is because the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that when the people come in front of you for a court case, you should presume that they are guilty. So therefore, they're proven.
It sounds so antithetical to, like,
everything.
Yeah.
Like, Judaism.
Yeah.
Right. So, Rabbi Yaakov Emden's approach, so the Binyan Sin, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, who we know, according to tradition, gave smicha to Rabbiner Samson Raphael Hirsch, although no one ever saw that smicha, but we don't want to talk about that. So, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger writes, in the tshuva, the top of the next page, V'chem b'devorah, kirin d'lefa ame b'shas hadim, motz in, ko adam l'chut, u'mei shirin rak echad, k'di'isu b'sanesh, k'shabot k'nsa eden, yezeg yichud. Says the Binyan Zion that the real concern for Yichud was that Devorah is a judge. You kick one person out. Very often you have to interrogate the witnesses. So you're kicking one of the parties out. So then it's one-on-one. Yichud. So that was the concern. But two-on-one would not be a problem. In other words, this approach of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that anyone who violates an Aveira ever is considered a parut, is very difficult. The Shevet HaLevi takes a different approach, and he says that some assume that parut means someone who is considered parut in arayos, meaning that these are people who are known as being light with respect to arayos. But it has nothing to do with whether halachically you're a rasha. You could violate all the aveiros in the world, but if you are not a lowlife, you are not a parut. How a low life means someone who, I'll define it in a second, but the Shevet HaLevi himself does not like this approach, and he assumes that anyone who halachically violates any Aveira, meaning we know that you violate an Aveira, somebody who you know goes out and eats in restaurants without a hashgacha, is a paratz, according to the Shevet HaLevi.
Vegetarian restaurants?
Right, you're a paratz, according to the Shevet HaLevi. If you eat food that's not checked for bugs, you are a parut, according to Shevet HaLevi. I think none of these approaches are standard. My understanding is that the real approach of what a parut is someone who is loose in sexual matters in the sense of things which the community does not accept as being normal. Sometimes you have a guy who has a loose pair of hands. and everyone knows that he is a little looser than other people, that guy's a paratz. But someone who is, again, even if the person is violating halacha, and even if the person is violating halacha, if the person, my understanding is, I don't have complete basis to say this, my understanding is that if someone is within that community's norms, that's not called a paratz. Paratz means, by definition, you are breaking the norms. Now, in our communities, this is not simple. What does a paratz mean? Someone a few years ago made fun of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that Reb Chaim Kanievsky gave a psak that anyone who has a smartphone is considered a paratz. Now, I don't know. You know, I would never say that. But there is a certain wisdom that, let's be honest, it takes a lot to resist the temptation of just, right, when no one's around, just looking around, and you could find anything online. That is the type of thing that I think in our, first of all, it's considered parts and arayos in the sense of you're looking at inappropriate things. Second of all, I think in our society, that's also viewed as being. So I had a question. Like, a young woman from the community wanted to go hiking with a few guys, with two guys. One woman, two guys. So she asked, is it permitted to go hiking? Now, hiking also can be yichud. Yichud doesn't have to be when you're enclosed. If you're in an area that no one can see you, that is also yichud, no? So I asked her, are these guys halachically abiding citizens? Right? She knew exactly what I was talking about, amazingly. And she's like, I'm not sure. So I'm like, it's not so simple. Right? We had a case here in the Heights a few, I think last summer, there was a bunch of people who wanted to sleep overnight on the roof of one of the buildings in the neighborhood. Huh? I told the story in the past, right? I think Frida commented when I told the story. Where are their parents? I think that was your comment. But it's a thing. It could be very nice. Like, you're camping out on top of whatever Bennett, because every address in the Heights is on Bennett or something, right? So you're camping out. What could be bad? You know, so again, you also have to worry, you know, at some point of night, there's going to potentially be some people falling asleep, and then potentially there could be a yichud issue. Right? Chazal are worried about these types of situations, or maybe some people will leave. It's not so simple. I generally tell people that a crowd in yichud is okay, meaning if you have three guys and three girls, for sure it's fine. If you have two guys and two girls, I think two guys and two women. I have to use the correct language. But if you have two guys and two women, I think there are enough poskim who are mekel also. One man and three women, Rashi is mekel on Yichud. The only Isser according to Rashi is one man and two women. One man and three women is okay. So what I tell people is, you know what, if you want to have, let's say it's a girl's apartment, a women's apartment, and you want to have a guy over at night, if all the roommates are there, most apartments in the Heights, I think, have at least three roommates, correct? But not yours. My understanding, just from selling chametz, and when I go through the inventory of who's in the apartment, etc., is that most apartments have at least three people. In most cases, it's going to be okay. However, with three women, the Pnei Yoshua says, right, one man, three women, Rashi says it's okay. However, late at night, when one of the women goes to sleep already, so then you could be in an Isser of one man and two women. So in those cases, the only way we can permit Yichud is based on Pesach Pasuach Rosh HaSarabim, right, or Chalom Pasuach, which means that there's a door that's open to the public. Now, what does a door that is open mean? What does the public mean? We have to define everything. So a door that's open means, is it that or that? Is it the Speer Family Holocaust Memorial Library? That door is open, but it's closed. It's not locked in the sense of it's open. This door is open. What is open? What? Well, there's a window. Okay, let's say the window is pasted over. What?
I mean, here's a door that's all glass too, whether it's locked or non.
Correct. So it's all glass, but all glass in this case, does it really help?
No.
In this case, if someone be outside, they would be able to see in, I think, because the light is on inside.
But if the gate outside is
if
locked,
the gate outside is
the story, because no one can get in and no one can see in.
Right. So it's not. It happens that there's a big machlokas haposkim about what is considered Pesach Pasuach Rosh Hashanah. There's a tshuva of the Rashba, where the Rashba writes in the tshuva. Here, I'm sure I have this stuff here somewhere. The problem is I like have no recollection about what I put on these sheets and that. Here. So, on page 2. So, Rav Yosef says, at Pesach Pasuach Rosh Hashanah, there's no concern of Yichud. The Aruch HaShulchan says that there's no concern b'diyeved. The Aruch HaShulchan assumes that Pesach Pasuach Rosh Hashanah does not permit Yichud l'chatchila. Initially, usher. But b'diyeved, what does that mean b'diyeved? That means that in terms of like an Isser Sota or something, right? We wouldn't say that it becomes usher. But Pesach Pasuach Rosh Hashanah, that itself, we'll have to talk about in the Gemara here on Shabbos. But Pesach Pasuach Rosh Hashanah is not permitted l'chatchila, according to the Aruch HaShulchan. Most poskim disagree with this Aruch HaShulchan. Most poskim feel that Pesach Pasuach Rosh Hashanah permits yichud l'chatchila. What does it mean that the door is pasuach? So the Rashba writes that it's only a problem if the door is locked. The Piskei Tshuva quotes that Rebbe Kiva Eger and the Beis Meir say that Pesach Pasuach has to mean that the door is actually opened. However, this that the Rashba writes, that the door has to be locked, look at this, Ta'o Sofer He. The Piskei Tshuva says, it's like the second, third line in the Piskei Tshuva, that's a mistake. Ta'o Sofer means the Rashba never meant it. Now, there are poskim who are mekel in the Yichud D'Rabbanan situation, if the door is closed but not locked. But if it's a Yichud D'Oraisa situation, the door should be really open. Most feel that Yichud D'Oraisa is one man, one woman. If it's one man, one woman, the door has to be all the way open, or open enough that people can actually see in. If it is one man and two women, that's only Yichud D'Rabbanan. Right? One woman, two men, even if the men are prutzim, that's only Yichud Rabbanon. Yichud Rabbanon, the door could be closed, but not locked. Now, until what time of night is it considered Pesach Pasuach, Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah means people are coming by often. How often do people have to come by? I have no idea. I just was in the elevator now on my way here. YU has this giving day today. So that people are getting phone calls, like, please donate to YU, very nice. So I'm in the elevator on the way here. Rav Schechter's coming down the elevator with me. I'm like, Rav Schechter, you know, you're doing giving day pretty late. I did like my half an hour, you know, at 3 p.m. Rav Schechter is like making his phone calls late tonight. Obviously, they give him different types of people to call than they give me. That's understood. But I say, Rav Schechter, you know, I'm giving a shiur now about Pesach Pasuach Rosh Hashanah. What's considered Rosh Hashanah? So he says, you know, Times Square. Okay. Like, and let's say you live in Washington Heights. What's Rosh Hashanah? So yeah, so Broadway's Rosh Hashanah. But until what time at night?
Can I ask two questions?
Yes.
One question about Rosh Hashanah, because if, like, Breuer's community will say that they can't use an Erev because the whole thing...
right, so most assume this is... You're saying that Mount Sinai has a bigger chumrah. Well, no, Breuer's has a Rosh Hashanah and we don't. So
Breuer's actually going to have an easier time with this.
Breuer, right.
Most
assume that the term Rosh Hashanah has different meanings in different places. Rosh Hashanah for Shabbos is something different than for Yichud. Pesach Pasuach Rosh Hashanah by Yichud means a situation that's not really considered secluded. Because people could get in theory.
So then I guess
it's considered an open space. So if my door is open, now what does that mean? I live on the third floor of a building. There are people who pass by on my street probably. I live on the YU campus until 1 a.m., 2 a.m. There are people passing by. Golan is open until 2.
Really?
Right? Word to the wise. If you're really hungry for a shawarma at 1 a.m., go to Golan. It's open. Right? What's the problem? So that's all great. It's wonderful. That really helps in Yichud. But does it help when I'm on the third floor?
Wait, so can I ask another question, though? It would depend also, like, on the city because of the location, right? So, like, after... forget the floors for a second, right? Then you got a penthouse, and you got the third floor, and the first floor, and then you have, like, New York City and the YU side, and then you have this side, and then what if you're, you know, what if you're in, like, I don't know anything about Riverdale, really, but, like, Riverdale is a much quieter place. They all go a bit earlier. They're all families, blah, blah, blah. Then you have, like, a whole conversation. Like,
correct.
A whole different,
so I think that all matters. I think we have to take all of this into account. And it really depends where your apartment is and how busy your building is, how much. I don't have any real, I don't have any real answer to this question. The best thing I saw is that Rebbe Yoshev is quoted as saying, in the Sefer Devar HaYichud, the quote Rebbe Yoshev said, that any place where people are passing by once every 15 minutes is called a Rishas HaRabim. So now, if you're apartment is near the elevator. Right? That means that anyone on your floor will pass by your apartment to walk this way or that way, no? So you have a better chance than the corner apartment.
Better chance of what?
A better chance of not being yichud, because you're considered Pesach Pasuch Lo Shasaram, because I'm in the middle and people pass by more often. Right? If it's 11 o'clock at night or midnight, are people going to pass by once every 15 minutes? It's entirely possible. I don't know. Like, you have to know the building. You have to know the reality of what's called Pesach Pasuach Lushas Harabim based on where you are. Now, there's another kula called Chalon Pasuach Lushas Harabim, which is the same as Pesach Pasuach if the window is open. Do people see in? So again, where is your apartment? So my apartment, most of my windows open to, you know, there's a park right near the river. Mm-hmm. Most of my windows open over there. That doesn't help much, no? They open to Laurel Hill Terrace, which is a relatively quiet street, and to that park. If your windows open to Amsterdam Avenue or to Broadway, you have a better chance, but it only helps if your windows, people could see into them, no? And if you're standing by the window, and they're sitting by the window, a place where people could see you. That could actually help. There's some story that Reb Chaim Oze Grudzinski, some woman, once came to ask him a bunch of questions, and his wife wasn't home, and he was worried that Yichud was a very serious question, so he spent like an hour and a half at the window explaining to the woman all of the halachic details. You should know, word to the wise, any rabbi who violates Yichud should be defrocked immediately. Two Chag HaSmichas ago, so I was speaking to Rav Shechter before the Chag HaSmichas, Rav Shechter asked, what should you speak about? So I said, Yichud, all of the real rabbinic scandals start. Chazal were wise. When Chazal say, don't get involved in seclusion, again, we don't like talking about Barry Ferndale, but forget about the other stuff. He should have been removed as a rabbi for violating Yichud. And I don't care that you're counseling somebody. I do not have any shades on my window in my office. You know why? Now you do.
Self-protection, my God.
And I will not speak with women in my office after 10:30 at night. My roof over here finishes around 10:15. There are people usually schmoozing outside. 10:30. If women want to talk to me after 10:30, again, this might sound really bad. I say, come to my apartment.
But you have a wife and five kids.
I have a wife and five kids. Correct. That's the point.
It could also be done on the phone. I mean, it's harder. Yeah, you could. Assuming like a roommate, blah, 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 blah. I'm just saying like the 21st century, there are different.
There are different ways. Correct. But the reason why this is such a big deal is because we live in a world where I do think that the entire Me Too movement should be an impetus to be more careful about Hilchos Yichud. We have to be very careful. And I think on some ways the issue is on the guys, but the issue is also on the women. Women have to be able to say to the guy, listen, you know, it's very nice, but there's an Isser Yichud. Or it's very nice, I want to chat with you. By the way, there's nothing wrong with chatting outside in the car on Broadway, where people are passing by all the time. That's fine. That's legit.
What? Not up in Fort Tryon Park.
Not up in Fort Tryon Park. Correct. It's location, location, location.
Yeah. I know you're going to hate me, but this Barry Farndell thing and all this, you know, and you're very wise to have no shades on the windows, and you keep, I know when you have the window, you also keep the door open. Good move. But if we had women rabbis or people in that function, women could go and talk to women instead of talking to male rabbis.
Agreed.
Come on.
Agreed.
There's a whole other set of should it, be talking to men.
In a certain OU paper, in a certain paper that the OU put out, we did note the importance of having women for counseling and these types of things. Absolutely, especially because, let's be honest, there's certain things I can't do well. I've had women come and speak to me about types of things that happen in dating. And I tell them, you know, you've got to talk to my wife because I can't ask questions to get to find out what really happened. I can't. I mean, like, it's not appropriate. It's not sneistic. It's not. And you can't.
Is this similar to why you have a yoga center? Why should a woman be asking these questions of a
absolutely. Oh. Now, one other issue that comes up, Pesach Pasuach, and then we go into break, is the question of libel gaspa. There is a discussion in Machlok between the Chalkas Machokek and the Taz. The Chalkas Machokek says that if it is Pesach Pasuach, it does not help once you have a close relationship. In other words, libel gaspa, according to Chalkas Machokek, means that, right, once there's a close relationship, let's say between the guy and the girl, it doesn't help if the door is open. The Taz says it still helps. Now, what's considered a close relationship, at what point it's considered a close relationship, is not easy to understand. It's really not easy to figure out. Some poskim are megal, like the Taz. However, you have to know the situation. I think Chazal had a lot of wisdom in Hilchos Yichud. And the wisdom is wisdom that we know what can happen. And we also know that the later it gets at night, when our defenses are down, it's more likely that Yichud is a necessary precaution to make sure that things don't happen. So in dating situations, what do you do? Well, it's not so easy in the Heights. I do recommend going to, you know, sitting in a place that's really open a lot. Seeing a place where lots of people come by.
You mean like these shidduch dates?
People give shidduch dates a bad rep. If you need to be talking until 3 o'clock in the morning, so quite honestly, you know, the YU entrance to the library is a nice place. It's open pretty much all night. And people are going to be coming pretty much all night, especially during finals. I don't recommend, again, and even if it's technically mutter, you know, people say, oh, well, we gave the keys to 20 different people, and they could all come in. Let's be honest, who's coming in at 3 o'clock in the morning? Right? I think Yichud, we need to work around the prohibition, absolutely, but it has to be somewhat legitimate. This is my whole spiel. Thank you for listening. Next week, we'll have to talk about that other Shaila, which I planned on getting to tonight, but too much.
Can I ask a separate question from this?
Could you what?
I have a totally separate question.
Yes.
I traded up some dishes last night.